Philippians chapter 3 this morning. I'm struck with the idea of elections in a few weeks, and this is as close as I'm going to get to anything political. I said last week, if you weren't here, we'll be good stewards of your political views, and we're not going to talk about politics here. I really have never done that from the pulpit level. I'm uncomfortable giving literature. You know, I think that if you're a believer, there are certain things that are important. They're important to me. They should be important to you. But your conscience has to be your guide. I'll not do that here. I won't preach from the pulpit politics or anything like that. But if you've driven by my house, I have a yard sign out. You'll have to forgive me. We're going to model for our kids that we're politically involved, and so you'll have to forgive that. But from here, that's just me personally. My own home up here, what we're for is Jesus and the Bible and calling people to repentance. And if we do that, we're going to be far better off than talking about politics. Indeed, I think that politics at the very best is a Band-Aid on a cough. Maybe it's dealing with the symptom of a problem, but our laws aren't the problems. The president's not the problem. The problem is the church not doing its job. And so right here in church and with the people of God, we find the best solutions to the problems of our day. That was a perfect place for an amen, I'll guarantee it. And but I am concerned, and I want to point out some things, though, that have talked me off the ledge of concern over the last few weeks, as we've all seen the political discourse go into levels unknown. And I'm like, you know, I know people like to say this is the worst it's ever been. They say it every time. You know, 4 years ago, they said this is the worst it's ever been. They called George Bush Hitler. This is the worst it's ever been. 200 years ago, they were killing people, doing duel, you know, fight, you know, killing people for, you know, political duels and so forth. So, you know, I think it's been worse, but it's certainly not great. And so I come to look at this and say, man, is there something good that we can look forward to that beyond what we see on the news where there's chaos? Is there anything that we can look forward to? Is there light at the end of the tunnel? And I think there is. I think there is. And so I want us to look at Philippians chapter 4, or 3. I told you 3 and I meant 3. Philippians chapter 3. Before I do, let's just pray really quickly, invite God into this process. And again, we're not going to be long this morning, and I really do intend to be short. Lord, we pray that you would bless our time right now, and that you would give us something that will encourage us, that will call us into a different way of thinking, even as right now we want to pray for our country and the things that are causing it to suffer, Lord, even ungodly leadership. But Lord, you're in charge, and you are sovereign. And Lord, we are representatives of a bigger kingdom, and that kingdom wins. And we're thankful today. So, Lord, we ask that you would encourage us today with your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a contrast. We did Philippians. We taught through Philippians last year, end of last year, and so we're familiar, should be familiar with this passage. But beginning at verse 17, brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I've often told you and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. Just to keep that concept in mind, but for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly await for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has, even to subject all things to Himself. That's a powerful verse. And so as we look at Philippians here, Paul's speaking to a group of people, a group of Christians, a relatively healthy group of believers in Philippi. And they're very familiar with some of what Paul is saying. And there seems to be an indication here. There are things that happened in the past. Everybody at one point before you became a believer, before you started to walk in the energy of the Holy Spirit, before you came to the knowledge of who Jesus is, before that happened, you walked in a certain way. Everybody did. Everybody did. Everybody's born. When you were born as a child, as a one-year-old, adorable as little newborns are, they are born sinners, wicked. And that's hard to imagine, but that's just what God's Word says. We're born into this condition, a rebellion against God. And when that happens, you have a pattern of life. And the pattern of life is, as Paul says in verse 18, you walk in a way that indicates that you are enemies of the cross of Christ, which is pretty heavy language. And it's not just that, you know, so the world thinks, they're out there and they think, oh, I'm good. I'm living life. Everything's hunky-dory. And what they don't know is that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. So if you're not a believer, that's the condition that you're in. You are actively working against all that God is trying to accomplish. And then what happens when that happens? Verse 19, your end is destruction. You don't have a good end. Your end is destruction. Your God is your appetite. What does that mean? Your desires, everything about you is centered around making you happy, making you feel good, just do it mentality, have it your way mentality, and whose glory is in their shame. Boy, have we not found that to be the case in our culture, that somehow we got an email? Forgive me. So this is as political as I'm going to get. We got an email with the school a couple weeks ago, an email to the students to come out and celebrate LGBT Coming Out Day or something like this at the high school. No, not acceptable. Not acceptable. We ought to be writing letters. If they want to do that, that's great. Then we should be 100% allowed to say Merry Christmas. Then we should be 100% allowed to, why do we have to be silent? Why don't we get a voice? If they want to celebrate LGBT Coming Out Day, hey, I'm all for it. I'm going to have Christian Come Out Day. Let's go in the church. Let's go in the school and have Christian Come Out Day. It's time that we stop being silent and getting pushed and bullied into not having our opinion. Why is our opinion second class and we get shamed and bullied out of saying what we believe? We've allowed the shame that the world puts on us for being Christians to be. We've allowed that shame to silence us. And they can glory in their shame, and they can take all of the stuff that 50 years ago would be embarrassing. And there was a reason why it was in the closet. There's a reason why sin is always in the closet. We live in a culture where sin's no longer in the closet. Come out with your sin. Let's celebrate it. Their glory is in their shame. We need to stand against that. This is the church of God. And it seems like, and we're talking about this in Sunday school about revival, it seems to me as though what's happening is the church is always, and you see it in politics, but the church is always playing defense. We're always playing defense, and let's not give up any more ground. And then the next thing, we're giving up more ground. So we're always drawing brand new lines in the sand, and then that gets crossed. It's like, no, now we're going to draw this line in the sand. We're always playing defense. This doesn't sound like a church that Jesus promises that's going to be taking enemy ground. The church of God will the enemy gates will not be able to stand against what is the force of the church operating in the Spirit of God. Doesn't sound to me like that's happening. And what happens is we get into politics to start plugging up the holes. We get into politics to start putting patches on these wounds and trying to deal with the symptoms of a problem. But the thing is, politics is, and these are just symptoms. They're not the real problem. We need to attack the problem. The problem is spiritual conditions that glory in their shame, whose appetite is their belly. And that's not the way the kingdom of God operates. The kingdom of God is different. It operates in a way that this is not about me. The first shall become last and the last first. You're more important. So in the economy of heaven, things work differently. In the way the kingdom of God works, things work differently. We're trying to impact this culture that's interested in self, sin. God is accomplishing, whether he does it through us or not. God is in the mission of accomplishing, bringing this kingdom, our kingdom, the kingdom of God, into that kingdom. And those two kingdoms, when they crash together, kingdom of God wins. Kingdom of God wins. We're not on the losing side. But we're acting like we're on the losing side. We're silent like we're on the losing side. We don't stand up to sin like we're on the losing side. And frankly, I'm offended that they would send my son an email about coming and celebrating LGBT coming out day. And if you're not offended, there's something wrong. Why do we have to cede our ground? Why aren't we demanding, okay, you want to play that game? We're coming with Christmas trees. We're coming with crosses. We're bringing it into the school. We're coming with our Bible. We're opening it up. We're sharing it. And nobody's going to tell me I can't. And our students ought to start acting. Our Christian teenagers ought to be called to that kind of action. And then when they come to the school with the Bible and they get called out on it, hold on, you're not going to tell me I can't bring my Bible when you're talking about glorying in all this nonsense and this sin, and I can't bring my Bible in, which glorifies and honors God? Sue me. Kick me out. Aren't you tired of living in a culture that glories and exalts sin, that brings out the world and takes sin and puts it on a pedestal, and then we have to honor that? It's anti-Jesus. And this is a Christian nation, and we should stand up and say something. I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about being the kind of Christian God has called you to be. Stand up. Don't be silent. Well, the rules say you can't do this. Forget the rules. I'm not gonna check my Christianity at the door. I can't check my Christianity at the door because I can't take the biggest part of who I am away from me and walk into anywhere. This is who I am. I'm not apologizing for it. Jesus is important. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you. Why is that such a criminal thing? What kind of backwards living world do we live in when we can have LGBT come out day and we honor that, but Christians, Christianity has been the cause of more death in the world. How many are tired of hearing that? Christianity is the cause. I'll tell you, how many hospitals are because of Christians? People talk about, I've said it before, but when Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt give $1 million to Haiti, they gave $1 million, which is pocket change for them. The Southern Baptist Convention can give like $200 million, and the media doesn't talk about that. We live in a messed up world. And in that messed up world, we get weary. I get weary. I get discouraged, depressed. Is anybody with me today? Discouraged, depressed, disgusted, angry. And I'm sick, and the closer I draw to the Lord, the more it offends me. That what's happening is that their minds are set on earthly, another way of saying worldly things. Worldly things. And so, as we come in conflict as believers with this culture, slowly sometimes we begin to accept that culture. We're out. Okay, we can't accept it. We're either going to have to stand on God's word and let that be, or if we get to pick and choose parts of God's word that we're not really thrilled about, say, I don't know that I want to live with that what God's word says here or there, then just throw the whole thing out, because why do you get to put yourself above what God says? Just pull yourself out of the whole thing. And we have to at some point say, no, there is a clash of cultures. There's a clash of cultures. It's not really a clash of cultures. It's a clash of kingdoms. It's a clash of kingdoms. And in that clash, our warfare is not against sticks and stones, right? God's word says it's not against principalities. It is against principalities and powers, things that we don't see, things that we don't understand. And so what we're up against is a lost culture, a kingdom of earth that has its mind on earthly things, but we're a different kingdom. We're from a different kingdom. And this is what encourages me. Are you ready for it? So we've all been sufficiently depressed. Let's be encouraged with Paul's words to this church who understood what it was to have dual citizenship, that understood what it was to be a resident alien in a place. Okay, these Philippians understood that. For our citizenship is in, somebody tell me?
Heaven.
It's in heaven. For our citizenship is in heaven. That means somewhere in heaven, wherever that is, you have your name written. God's word says it's in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name is written somewhere that gives you a citizenry that goes beyond this little space of Tiffin, goes beyond the United States, goes beyond this world. We have a citizenship that transcends what's going on here. We have rules in this kingdom that transcend what's going on here. We have a higher authority that we speak to that transcends what's going on here. And we're not going to bow down, no matter how many times people say you must bow down to this idol. We're not going to bow down. And if God saves us, but if he doesn't, that's fine too. We need to be bold. It's a contrast. This Greek sentence here begins with the word our, and it's very clear that it has that prominent position in this sentence to contrast No, we're not with destruction. We're not going to end in destruction. We're not going to end, you know, our appetite is not our God. Our glory is not our shame. Indeed, we don't set our minds on earthly things. Our thing is different. Our. I love that. Not my. Our. You and me. We're doing this together. Our. Our citizenship is in heaven. The Philippians understood this very well because they were a Roman colony. And so they had citizenship in Rome. They had a very Roman culture, even though it wasn't in Rome. It was, you know, because Rome, remember, Rome took over, and they've got all these little colonies all over the place. Philippi was one of them. And so Philippi, even if you go there today, what are the ruins, you will see that it had a very Roman architecture. Their language was very Latin. Everything about Roman culture was represented in Philippi, and it was just a little sort of an island to itself because everything around it was different. Everything around it was not like Rome, but in that one Roman colony, Philippi was like Rome. The Philippian church understood what Paul was saying. Listen, they understood what it was to be a resident alien somewhere. I don't really belong here. I'm a Roman citizen. Whatever rules and stuff they got going on here is great, but the bigger thing is what's going on in Rome. See, what happens is when we're citizens of heaven, then the way that we look, the way that we act, the way that we talk, the way that we build things, the way we do things is different. It reflects citizenship that is bigger than what happens here. It reflects a citizenship where we're doing things and acting ways that reflect our true heritage, our true culture. And that's a God culture. That's a Jesus culture. That's a I've been changed. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's the culture that we are supposed to be living out. And we do it in a culture that is different. And it's a contrast, no doubt about it. It should be a contrast. It should be a contrast. There should be a clear contrast between the way that you live and the way your lost friends live. There should be a clear contrast in the way that you talk and the way your lost friends talk. There should be a clear contrast in the way that you, in the things that you laugh at and the things that you're, what the world laughs at. There should be a clear contrast in the things that you watch and the things that the world watches. There should be a clear contrast in the things that we're doing. Why? Because we reflect a different citizenry. Because this world is not my own. I'm just passing through. This is not my final destination. I've got bigger fish to fry. And so the extent to which I come into this world as a believer and things come in conflict with that world, I will not bow down because I've got bigger citizenship to answer to. And I'm going to do what God's called me to do. And if I have to stand up against all this ridiculous stuff that happens in this world, that's fine. We'll stand up, but we won't be silent. It's anybody else, because I feel like we've been too silent too long. Used to be a thing called the moral majority back in the day. And I'm not, again, trying to stay away from. But what they were is loud convictions. And we need a little bit more of loud convictions. God's word talks about contending. Paul says that we are to, his words, contend for the faith. But that word, contend, is really a rather strong word, coming from where we get the same word, contention. Listen, if you think that being a Christian means that we're going to get along with the world, we want to bless the world and serve the world, all that's true. But if you think sometimes the rubber meets the road, and if you think that we can be nicey-nice and chum up with the world in a way that never brings conflict, you just don't understand the nature of what we're talking about. Because God's Word says that there are times when we have to be contentious. We have to contend for what we believe. We got to put the gloves on, and we got to get serious, but we're not moving. We're coming to a stage, I'm afraid, God help us, that this world for my kids as they grow up into their 30s and 40s won't look like the world that we have. It's already changed drastically in 20 years. And God knows that something's got to be done. But one thing that we need to stop doing is being silent little mice about what we believe. Can everybody hear me today? Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eager. And this is the good news. So not great now, not great now. But here's the good news, again, we win, from which we eagerly await for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know who is not our Savior? The president. Who is not our Savior is the government. Who is not our Savior is Supreme Court justices. Who is not our Savior is not new laws. We don't eagerly await that. We fight for those things. Those are good. Those are bandages. What we need to get our sight on is Jesus. Jesus. We have to get our sights on Jesus. And if we do that, then our impact. So I believe this. So I believe that maybe, it you know, sometimes Christians get so involved in politics. I'm not against that. I'm involved. But we get involved in politics understanding this is just the small part of the game. This is sort of, again, the band-aids. The big thing is, what's Jesus trying to accomplish? How is Jesus changing this? What can I do to impact souls? What can I do to impact souls? Our sight is on Jesus. We eagerly await for the Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, and then one day, we won't be in this wicked world anymore. How many are excited about that? How many are excited about the fact that one day disease, we don't have to worry about that. One day sickness, one day poverty, one day all the things that ail you, the sadnesses and the hurts, none of that will matter one day, because God's Word assures us that even though things are bad here, even though there's a clash of cultures here, even though the kingdoms are crashing into one another here, God's Word says one day we will be transformed, the body of our humble state, into conformity with the body of His glory. One day God's going to do this work. Now, I don't know what you believe. This is what I believe. I believe one day Jesus, in the same way He left, will return. He will return. We will be transformed in the moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We will come forth, meet God in the clouds, and we will change in an instant. Awesome. I believe that. If I didn't believe that, if I thought we'd just be annihilated, why would we be spending our time? Let's go watch some football today. Let's start cooking up the bratwurst and getting ready. If I didn't believe that one day God is coming and I'll have a real relationship face to face with the God of the universe, and He's going to change me, and all the stuff that I struggle with is going to be no more, and all the stuff that ails me and this world that is sick, I'm going to be gone from it. And the stuff that I'm nervous about, people breaking, all the stuff that keeps me up at night, that people are going to break into the house and harm my kids, I'll be able to sleep. sleep just fine. God's going to come and change us by the exertion of the... I love this. I love this. By the exertion, verse 21, by the exertion of the power that He has, the power of God is going to change us by the exertion of His power that He has to subject all things to Himself. Isn't that good news today? We ought to be politically involved. There's no doubt about it. God's word says, render to Caesar what is Caesar's, unto God what is God's. You have a responsibility as a Christian to be involved politically. I believe that 100% you have a responsibility. You ought to be. You ought to be. God's word couldn't be any clearer. You have a responsibility to pay taxes. You have a responsibility to be involved. But the extent to which you're involved in this kingdom of the world, we have a double responsibility to be involved in God's kingdom. And the good news is, I was thinking about this last night, this morning when I woke up. People are going to think, what do we have to look forward to? And I really thought people were going to think that I was preaching this because Ohio State lost yesterday. And I needed to make sure that everybody knew. This is more of a political thing, not because of Ohio State. But it applies to Ohio State fans too. Okay? This applies to everybody. Here's the good news. That the worldly stuff doesn't matter. The worldly stuff doesn't matter. What matters is what is eternal. And one day, we'll have our permanent home in a place that is good. And all that because we have a relationship with Jesus. God is good. God is good. So as you navigate through your world and go to the voting booth this week and you start watching election coverage, whatever your political disposition is, remember, this is just worldly stuff. You know, the important thing is the bigger kingdom that we're involved in. And in that kingdom, we win. God wins. We're on the winning team. That's good news. That's good news. That helps me stay encouraged during this time of year. Lord, I don't have to stress out. God's in control. I don't have to stress out. If I'm in Christ and I'm living the way that God wants me to, they can pass every law in the world. God's going to protect me and God's going to protect my family. Because I am in Christ. And my citizenship is in heaven. And that gives me great assurance today. Do you receive that word today? If so, say amen.
Amen. Amen.